Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We've come, as you know, in Colossians chapter 1 to verse 21. And actually, we are going to be considering verses 21 and 22 as a unit. And here Paul personalizes the doctrine of reconciliation. You recall that the conclusion of his hymn to Christ was this grand statement about Christ reconciling all of the created universe to himself. Here it is, verse 20, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And of course, we already explored that text in great detail on previous broadcasts, but this is the amazing declaration that Christ's death upon the cross not only was for the salvation of sinners, but also was for the restoration of the whole created order back into right relationship with God. All of it's under the curse because of man's sin. That is incredible, but that is exactly what is taught here. The whole universe suffered as a result of Adam's fall, but the whole universe will be reconciled back to God as a result of Christ's cross work. But then moving into verses 21 and 22, Paul personalizes this grand picture of reconciliation for the individual Colossian believers. When he says, "And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." So yes, Christ upon the cross accomplished reconciliation for the whole created universe, but Christ upon the cross effected reconciliation for you Colossians who believe in him. And that brings it down to a very personal and individual level. "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked work, yet now he has reconciled." So that's the text we are looking at on this Wednesday, January 27. And please don't forget that we do so by the kind gifts of our radio listeners. Thank you. Well, Paul starts by reminding them of their former condition, what they were before Christ rescued them. They were alienated. They were enemies, that is, enemies of God. This is centered in their mind. Their thinking was distorted. They're thinking about God. They're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about a proper relationship with God. All of that was distorted. And it's compounded by the wickedness of their sin. Alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Their sin-beclouded hearts manifested itself in their sinful deeds, their wicked works. And so here was a description of their former condition before salvation. They were alienated from God, and they exhibited it in their sinful rebellion as they thumbed their nose at their Creator and lived their lives as they chose rather than as he had told them to live, and this is a description of all people apart from Christ. No matter who you are and what your condition is, and most sinners see themselves as far better than they truly are, and most sinners justify their sins and failures as being not so bad and having a purpose, having a reason that can be considered and that God will certainly take into account. But to view this from God's perspective is very important. This is a true picture. You, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. And that's what we need to understand. God is holy. We are sinners. We are wicked sinners. And there's no hope for us apart from Jesus Christ, God's only remedy for sin. But Paul moves from their former condition to their present condition. Yes, all these things were true of you, Colossians, and he's writing, of course, to Colossian Christians. All of these things were true of you, but yet now he says he has reconciled. There is the before and the after, the then and the now. And this is the now. Yet now he has reconciled, and that's a description of their present condition. Now, who took the initiative in this? God did. He has reconciled. God reached down to men. For men are unable to reach up to God. They neither can nor will. They have no desire to, and if they did, which they don't desire to, they have no ability to. But God reached down to man. God removed the barrier to a right relationship with himself, the sin barrier. God dealt with that in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so, through God's initiative, a new relationship has been established, not the one that was described as being alienated and enemies and wicked, but now one that is described by the word reconciled. And here's where we can see that this great work of the reconciliation of the universe has personal application to individual sinners who are reconciled to God. And they are reconciled, brought back into a right relationship with God. When I say brought back, that's not to suggest that anyone started out in a right relationship with God and then fell from that right relationship and now has been brought back. No, the picture is one of the human family. Before Adam sinned in the garden, the human race was rightly reconciled to God. But when Adam sinned in the garden, the whole human race was put in a condition of alienation and enmity with God. But now, in Christ Jesus, those who formerly were enemies are brought back into that condition that Adam had before the fall. They are brought into a right relationship with their Creator. The barrier that made that relationship impossible is removed in the cross of Christ. The barrier, of course, is our sin. And when that barrier is removed, then a right relationship is restored. And God removes the cause of his righteous wrath toward us. God himself heals the ruptured relationship. Now, this is very important to the understanding of the gospel. So I say it again. God removes the cause of his righteous wrath toward us. Some feel that they do sinners a favor by downplaying, even ignoring, these distasteful elements of the gospel, such as God's condemnation, God's holy wrath, the message of eternal condemnation, the message of an eternal hell for sinners who do not repent and believe, and to downplay the whole concept of sin. The pastor of what I think is the largest church in America, well known through his television broadcast, said on a talk show on television a number of years ago when he was interviewed that he was asked what he believed about sin. And he said, well, and I can't remember the exact quote, but basically what he said was he just didn't talk about it. He didn't say he didn't believe in it, but he just didn't talk about it. He's not going to talk about sin, and he went on to explain that people come to church weary and beat down by life, and they need encouragement. So he doesn't talk about sin. Well, pray tell, how do you preach the gospel without talking about sin? Pray tell, how do you expect people to be brought to understand and recognize their need of Christ without telling them about sin? How do you expect people to understand the good news until first they come under the weight of the bad news? And the bad news is that we are wicked sinners alienated from God, and that the only way for that to be changed is for our sins to be dealt with. You've got to understand what it is that has separated us from our Creator, and it is our sin. But the good news is that God removes the cause of His righteous wrath toward us. His righteous wrath toward us is a righteous wrath. It is a just judgment. It is the proper attitude of a holy God toward sin and sinners. What else can you expect from a holy God? Yes, He has a righteous wrath toward us. We're not even telling people the truth when we say God hates the sin but loves the sinner. It's one of those misleading statements because there's partial truth in it. But to imply that God does not hate the sinner, He loves the sinner, He hates the sin but He loves the sinner, is actually misleading. The Bible is clear that God's holy wrath is directed not toward some impersonal record of sin, but toward the ones who committed the sin. It is directed toward the sinner. The sinner is in trouble. The sinner is under condemnation. We're already condemned. Jesus made that clear in John chapter 3. Go back and read it. We all love verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But then it goes on to make it clear that those who do not believe in Him are condemned already. They're not condemned when they don't believe in Him. They are already condemned. They stay condemned when they don't believe in Him. Verse 18, John 3, He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We are under condemnation because of our sins, but the condemnation is not condemning our sins, it's condemning us. God doesn't send sins to hell, God sends sinners to hell. And rightly so. Righteously so. Necessarily so. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that God reconciles sinners to Himself by removing the cause of His righteous wrath toward us and thereby healing the ruptured relationship. Sin, our sins, Adam's sin to begin with, but then ours compounding it, our sin is a great barrier that separates us from the God who made us and sustains us. But in the crosswork of Christ, that barrier is removed, and the sinner who believes in Jesus is reconciled to Almighty God. That's the gospel. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.